And as the kids go, please do open with me to Psalm 121. It's going to be good for you to have that open in front of you so you can follow along as we look at this incredible psalm that just invites us to lift our gaze to our beautiful, majestic, and sovereign God. Let me just pray, though, as we turn to God's word. Father, sometimes with all the shadows of difficulties in our lives, it can be easy for us to just look at all the difficulties around us and fix our gaze there. But this morning, Father, I pray that through your word, you would lift our gaze to you, the one who is enthroned above all, and that you would fill our hearts with the assurance this psalm is designed to give us. Meet us here, Lord. Show us your glory. Stabilize our wobbliness. Encourage us, Lord. And show us how all of this leads ultimately again to your Son, our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. For our son Elliot's 8th birthday, he asked if we could attempt to climb Northern Ireland's tallest mountain. Says a lot about his little character. He loves to take on mountains. Sleeved honored. So off we went as a family at the end of May and drove down to Newcastle to climb Donard together. I remember that drive when you're coming up near Newcastle, I'm sure many of you know it, and you just see Donard towering there above the other mountains. And I remember the sense of that mountain looming very large in front of us. Then we drove on into the Donard car park, parked the car, and I remember we all sort of got out and got the stuff ready. And right at the foot of the mountain, closer up to the mountain, I remember feeling even more intimidated by the journey ahead with our small kids. The mountain looked so big, and we all looked so small, and we felt small. I want you to just get that image in your mind, just standing there at the foot of the mountain, feeling pretty overwhelmed. Life can feel like that sometimes, can't it? We can face hard and unexpected things sometimes, and those things can feel like mountains and hills towering over us and intimidating us. Our journey through life and the mountains and hills we experience along the way, those mountains and hills can take many forms. You can be going along nicely and then something just rises in front of you that makes you feel overwhelmed. Grief, for example, can strike. And you just face a mountain of overwhelming heartache. You can get news about your health, and the fear and anxiety that that stirs can rise up like a mountain in front of you. Or you can hear of the health of a loved one that is failing, and it has the same effect. Relationships can break down that mean a lot to us. Getting through the complexity of it all can feel overwhelming. We don't know where to start. Our mountains can also take more subtle forms in life. Sometimes we look out in our lives and we're just filled with a lack of contentment and we wonder, how can I face this life of loneliness or this life in a meaningless job or this singleness that seems to be ongoing? Perhaps we struggle with our mental health. And we just see mountains of anxiety and fear casting their shadow over us, and it's hard to even say what's causing it all. Sometimes it can be mountains of sin and guilt that just tower over us and make us feel awful. These mountains and hills can stand before each of us, and they just rob us of the joy and peace that God wants us to enjoy in our relationship with Him. Well, this morning we come to Psalm 121. This psalm is in our Bibles to help us when we're standing at the foot of the mountains. This is in our Bibles to help us when we feel intimidated by hard things in our lives. It's here to encourage us to lift our gaze to God. And that's what I'm going to keep saying this morning. If you're there and you're looking at the mountains and you're feeling overwhelmed, just lift your gaze a little higher to the God who is above them all. And as we lift our gaze to God, this psalm is designed to give us a sense of fresh reassurance by reminding us of who our God is for us as we stand there at the foot of that mountain. This psalm is here to tell us that we'll never face the mountains alone. We never set off on our own to tackle them in our own strength. This psalm's here to remind us that God is here as our keeper, our watcher, our ever-present help in times of trouble. And so as we work through it now, I would encourage you even now to just take a moment in your heart to say, "Oh Lord, lift my gaze to you this morning. I want to see you." The psalm comes to us in two main sections. First, verses 1 and 2, we see the lifting of the gaze to God in our trials. And then in verses 3 to 8, we see the psalmist being reminded of who God is as he prepares to face the mountains. You'll notice there are two voices in the psalm. That's why I asked Anna to read the first two voices and Stephen the rest of it. Because it begins with one voice, "I'm lifting my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from?" And then from 3 to 8, you get this almost answer. God's going to keep you. He's going to watch over you. This lovely voice of affirmation. And so we're going to work through those two sections. And let's just get straight in to the first two verses that I'm calling Learning to Lift Our Gaze to God. The psalmist begins in verse 1 with these words that are just so full of meaning and so precious to each of us who know them. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" Hills are a poetic way here of speaking about the various challenges and trials that surround the psalmist. The previous psalm, if you just cast your eye back there, Psalm 120, closed with the psalmist feeling distressed and surrounded by people who wanted to go to war against him. Look at that last verse of Psalm 120. "I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war." He was feeling mountains of difficulty around him with people who were just ready to attack. So hills, let's get this clear, are a poetic way of speaking about the various challenges and trials that surround our lives. And as the psalmist lifts his eyes to the various hills in his life, and you, as you lift your eyes this morning, and you just think, what are some of the hills and mountains that are standing in front of me at the moment? You stand in the shadow of those hills, and you ask yourself this question that the psalmist asks his own soul: where does my help come from? In this moment, where does my help come from? See, this is a good question for us to ask ourselves when we stand before our own hills and mountains. What and who am I ultimately looking to help me with this? See, it's so easy for us to forget, isn't it, who our helper is when the shadow of the mountains are all around us. Something difficult stands there in front of us, and it's our default to look across to other people, perhaps, or to look into our own strength. And of course, God often brings help and encouragement and stability through other people. He helps us in our loneliness and our anxiety through the care of others. Yes, he does, and that is wonderful. But ultimately, we must always keep reminding ourselves, when the hills that make us so anxious are all around, we must constantly remind ourselves that our ultimate source of help, our ultimate hope, Our ultimate strength comes from the Lord God Almighty Himself. He is the source of the fountain. The fountain certainly may flow through friends and through family, but we trace it up all the way to the source of it all. My help in this moment when I'm feeling so afraid, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This opening answer to the psalmist's own question, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, this is both the decision of faith and a declaration of confidence. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first, this is a decision of faith to say, my help comes from the Lord. It's a decision. It's a psalmist saying, in the face of this trial, this difficulty, I am putting my hope first in God for everything that this hill represents. I'm hoping in God. Yes, my family, my friends may comfort me, and I'll welcome that. But let's always remember, friends and family can also let us down at times. And if our ultimate hope is in friends and family, when we're let down, we will be crushed. Remember, though, the arm of man may fail, the arm of Almighty God never fails. Has He ever failed you once? Has He ever left you to face it on your own? The psalmist says, I'm applying my faith to God. It's like Psalm 42, when in that lovely psalm, you know, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. There's this refrain, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? And what does he preach to his own soul? Hope in God, soul, for yet I will praise him once again. See, if you hope in people to meet needs that only God can meet, when those people let you down, you'll always be a discontented and dissatisfied, needy person. So don't just look to the horizontal, as helpful as that is and as instrumental as that is in God's hands. Keep tracing all the blessings ultimately up to the ultimate hope, the Lord God. That's a decision of faith to say, I'm choosing to hope in God in this moment. But it's not just a decision of faith to say, my help is in the Lord. It's a declaration of confidence. When he says, my help comes from the Lord, and then adds these words, the maker of heaven and earth, he's saying, I have an incredible helper. My helper is the Almighty, the creator of everything. My helper with this thing that seems so big. My helper is bigger than this thing. My helper is sovereign. These mountains are not sovereign. In fact, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The mountains may be bigger than us. They might even be more powerful than us. But they're not bigger and more powerful than our God. Now, reflecting on these first two verses, there's a lesson I want you to really take on board this morning. It's simply this. At the foot of the mountains, lift your gaze to God. I want you to take that phrase away, to try and remember it. At the foot of the mountains, lift your gaze to God. At the foot of the mountains, help me, Lord, to lift my gaze to you. And to keep it there. Because as you know as well as I do, boy, isn't it hard to keep your gaze on God. Through the night, you can't stop thinking about this mountain. Through the day, you want to leave it. You want to take off that rucksack of burdens and leave it at the cross. And then you walk away and 2 seconds later, you've taken it up again. It's hard. Think of this. You might stand in the shadow of a mountain. But that mountain stands in the shadow of the Almighty. So when you're there and you're lifting your eyes to the hills, and it just feels so scary, just lift your eyes a little higher. Just go on that a little bit more to the, and just think of it, you know, think of the morns, think of the mountains, and then think of the Almighty God who's just over it all. The mountains look like nothing to Him.
to stand sovereign and glorious and majestic and holy over it all. And that's who he is in your life this morning. He wants you to live in the good of his precious, protective, sovereign care over your life. You know, this is one reason why corporate worship can be so helpful. So much when we're just by ourselves can shrink our vision. So much through the week, and we think all week you've been hearing stuff and bombarded by worldly perspectives that just shrink your vision down and make the mountains big. And we come together and we sing, Jesus said, if I am weak, I can come to him. And we sing, my name is written in his hands. My name's hidden in his heart. And you hear the person beside you singing, and you're singing, and we're singing truth to one another and unto the Lord, and it does something, doesn't it? It does something for you. And I get the privilege of standing here, and sometimes, I'll be honest, I find it hard to hold back the tears as I look out on you and know what some of you are going through, and I see you sing and hoping in the Lord and lifting your gaze, and I'm just sitting here and standing here as your pastor, just so inspired and encouraged and broken for you and wanting to sing with you as well. We're together in it. Together, we face the mountains knowing that our help comes from the Lord. The first part of this psalm is here to invite us to lift our eyes, lift our gaze to God, our helper. He's your helper with your mountain today. Don't forget it. Then in the second part of the psalm, from verses 3-8, there's this new voice of reassurance that comes in that seems to be designed to remind us, right, here's who this helper is. Here's, when you've made that decision of faith, I'm going to hope in God, here's who he is for you. So I'm calling the next part of this, verses 3-8, remembering who God is as we face our mountains. You see, there's another voice here, as I said at the beginning. This is a song of ascent. So you could imagine the first voice in verses 1 and 2, we're embarking on a journey, we're going home from a journey, and we're lifting our eyes to the hills, and there's difficulties, and we're nervous, and we're lifting our eyes to God. Where does our help come from? And then it's almost like you get the choir now echoing in the response. Reassurance, reminders of who God is. And as this reminder of who God is for us in our trials comes, the dominant truth that shines through that we're all to remember and take away with us is found in the beginning of verse 5. In those words, the Lord is your keeper. That's the very centerpiece of the psalm. Even in Hebrew, when you count the syllables on either side, that's the very middle point. Fascinating. And look at how this theme of the Lord being our keeper pervades the second part of this psalm. Just cast our eyes down through it. Verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What you actually have here is three pairs of verses. Verses 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8 are all their own little distinct versions of what it means for the Lord to be our keeper. So the dominant theme is clearly the Lord is our keeper, and in three pairs of verses that kind of look at what does that mean from different angles. And the psalmist engages three different word pictures to help us comprehend what does it mean at the foot of the mountain that this God is our keeper. And so we're going to spend the rest of our time just looking at these three pairs of verses. Verses 3 and 4. What does it mean for the Lord to be our keeper? Well, first it means he is our ever-alert watchman. Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. Now, that means he's not going to let you stumble and be snatched away from him. Verse 3 and 4, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, when we lived in Madagascar, we had to employ a guard to watch our property and keep us safe at night. We were in the middle of a village in what used to be a mango forest, and it was, you know, we were white people, and there were lots of people who potentially would like to break in and get all of our stuff if they could, and we had to employ this watchman, this guard, to keep us safe. Now, don't get the wrong idea of people in Madagascar. People in Madagascar are amazing people, and I love them very much, but just like here, there's good people, and there's not so good people out there who'll try to break in and get your stuff. And we were particularly vulnerable in the area we were in, and our guard would be there to keep watch as we slept. Sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night, however, and all I could hear was, and it wasn't Lindsay. He would fall asleep. And the point here of the psalmist engaging this image of the Lord as our ever-alert watchman is that our keeper never sleeps and never leaves us vulnerable even for a moment. He's vigilant, our ever-alert watchman, always there, never a moment where he takes his eyes off us. It's amazing. You see, if God slept, Satan could plan something evil to sneak in at us and get us while he's not there on watch. But you see, verse 7 tells us in this psalm that this is the God who keeps us from all evil. Our God stands as a shield around us. He's the doorman of our lives. And he will not let anything evil in to hurt us. Now, it's important that we understand he won't let anything evil in to get us. You see, this doesn't mean that he will not ordain and allow difficult things that are part of his plan for our lives to enter our lives. This psalm doesn't leave you immune from hard things and unexpected things happening. But what it does tell us is that God will never, ever leave us vulnerable to the point where for a moment Satan or something evil can get in and get us behind his back. Nothing evil can ever touch you because God stands as sentry on the doors of your life and he says, it's not getting in. Only what I ordain gets in. And what I ordain is good, even if it's hard. Do you remember Glenn Ross? Is that name familiar to anyone? I used to love The World's Strongest Man. And there used to be this guy from Northern Ireland, Glenn Ross. And he used to be a doorman, I think, here in Belfast somewhere. And he would lift these big weights, and then he would just shout, "Who's your daddy?" when he lifted the weight. And I always used to think, well, there's our representative in The World's Strongest Man shouting, "Who's your daddy?" as he lifts the weights. And I used to just think, imagine that man standing at the door and you go in somewhere and this big giant Glenn Ross, imagine someone taking him on. And I was just thinking through the week, who's Glenn Ross when you compare him to our bodyguard? The Almighty God, think of it. Who can get past the Lord? Who's more powerful than the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Who is above our God? And you can see, can't you? You begin to see how this psalm is given to build into us a sense of assurance at the foot of the mountain. Hard stuff can come. Stressful stuff can come. But in God's hands, he looks after you so that he only lets in what he works through for your good. Satan and nothing evil can get in. He is our ever alert watchman. And I think as you see that first pair of verses telling you that, you're to start to feel the reassurance growing. But the second picture explaining what it means that the Lord is our keeper builds on this in verses 5 and 6. Here we're told that the Lord is not just our ever-alert watchman, but he's also our all-sufficient shade. And the metaphor shifts slightly to give us another angle of what this means. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, this is interesting. What does the shade at your right hand mean? Well, often in this day in battle, people would be typically right-handed. They'd hold their weapon in their right hand and their shield in their left hand. So you protected your left side well with your shield, but to be honest, your right side was that little bit more vulnerable. So you kind of needed to stand in a row so each guy on your right hand would kind of watch your vulnerabilities, your weak side. And so you've got this beautiful picture here that the Lord is our shield and protector, especially in those places where we're more vulnerable. And I think this is so precious because we are all vulnerable in our own little quirky ways to something. You could have a disposition that's prone to anxiety, and something strikes and you just feel that that vulnerability is being exposed and you don't want to be so anxious and fearful, but you can't shake it off. Or maybe you're a bit prone to being negative and being quite low, and that can be your vulnerability. Or maybe it can be pride. You can get all puffed up with pride. Or maybe it could be anger. Or maybe it could be sexual immorality. And you've got these vulnerabilities, and you know when stuff comes in that goes after your vulnerabilities, you just feel weak. And here you've got this beautiful promise. The Lord is your shade where you're most vulnerable. And we're to take that and to allow the assurance to grow. The psalm subtly brings us encouragement by saying he'll be our shield to protect us from the dangers that come with the heat of the day and from the dangers that come with the cool of the night. That idea of the sun and the moon is just, again, this all-comprehensive picture. By day, by night, your ever-alert watchman will be your all-sufficient shade. Nothing evil can get near you, ever. The third picture, then, of God as our keeper comes in verses 7 and 8, where we see that God is our always present chaperone. Now, I chose that word carefully and looked up the meaning in the dictionary just to make sure it was fitting. A chaperone is defined as a person who accompanies and looks after another person or group of people, and there's movement in the idea. So as you're going on a journey, you're getting ready for a trip and you're worried about all the COVID stuff, or you're getting ready to go on a journey through recovery from some health issue or whatever it is, you've got this picture in this last pair of verses that says the Lord is always present, accompanying us and looking after us in whatever journey we are undertaking. Look at the words. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Spurgeon calls this the traveler's psalm. For anyone going out on a journey and feeling nervous about it, this is the psalm for you. The focus in these last two verses is on what we call the omnipresence of God's protective care, that he's all present all the time. We read that he'll keep our life, the big events, the small events, the mountains, or the more subtle hills. He keeps us and stays with us as our chaperone, not just to say from a distance, this is okay, this is good, I'm ordaining this for you. No, he ordains it and then he says, now let me take your hand and walk with you through the mountains. Our ever-present chaperone is always with us. He keeps our going out and our coming in, we're told. That practically speaks of his sovereign care in all of our ventures, big and small. When you leave the house in the morning, he goes with you as your keeper. When you come in at night, he returns with you as your keeper, and he comes right on in home with you, and he stays with you always. When you go on a journey of any distance, the Lord goes with you. He goes with you into that difficult work situation this week. He goes with you into your grief and dealing with it. He goes with you today back into the battles that you face. He goes with you and enjoys all of your joys with you as well. He's with us at the dawn of life. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. And he'll be with us at the sunset of life. As we go out from this life, he'll be with us to take us by the hand and to guide us through into the next life. Forevermore, 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 he'll keep us in his dwelling place forever. And I love the way the psalm ends. From this time forth, in this life he's your keeper, and forevermore. Forevermore, he will never stop or cease to function as our keeper and our sustainer in this life and in the next. If he doesn't uphold us in the next life, we're gone. He will always be our keeper from this time forth and forevermore. All because of Jesus. We get God to be our ever-present keeper. When you've stood, I suppose, like me, at now, as a pastor, many deathbeds, even this week with Hugo, when you know these truths, that this person does not go through the Jordan waters of death alone, they have an incredible chaperone and one who's going to meet them. Say, Hugo, let me take you by the hand. The Lord is your keeper. That's what verse 5 is here to tell you. He's the keeper generally of Israel, of God's people. But here for you this morning, don't hear this just generally. Each of you individually, if you're in Christ, hear this. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. You have this God keeping an eye on you. That's amazing. Your ever alert watchman, your all protective shade, your always present chaperone. So as you face the mountains, lift your gaze and remember, this is the God who goes with me. I don't face the mountains alone. He's with me. If I was you and I was sitting where you're sitting now and I was at a place where I'd be saying, you know, I'm not a Christian. Here's a question I'd be asking if I was in your shoes. How can I know all that can be true for me? How could all that be true for me? Because I hear that and I want that. But if you're not a Christian, none of that is yours. You don't have that assurance. Well, let me ask you this question. Have you called on the Lord and asked him to be your helper through life and through death? Have you asked him to be your helper with the greatest mountain in front of you? You see, as we move forward from this psalm and on into the New Testament, the Bible tells us that the greatest mountain standing in front of every single one of us is the mountain of our unforgiven sin. That's the biggest problem every one of us faces. We cannot face that mountain by ourselves. It's too much for us. But Jesus came. And he climbed that mountain for us. He went up on another hill, the hill of Calvary, bearing the cross that should have been ours. He bore our sin and our judgment, and in doing so, he took the mountain of our unforgiven sin away. He flattened it before us. And because he stands with that mountain crushed under his feet, through his death and glorious resurrection, in him we stand with that mountain under our feet. And now we lift our eyes to another hill, to Calvary and to the cross, and we say, I lift my eyes to that hill. Where does my help come from? It all comes from there. There's the fountain of all my help. There's the fountain where I can know forgiveness and life, and God is my keeper, my ever-alert watchman, my always-present shade and keeper. You lift your eyes to the cross, to that hill, and you say, there's where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And when we receive Jesus and we confess our sins, as Stephen and Anna shared just so wonderfully with us, as we confess our sins and we realize being a Christian is not just turning up for church, it's not just a religious upbringing. It's when you yourself see your sin and you need to repent and you need it all to be done away because it offends God. And then you see that God is in love, sent Jesus to take away that sin, and you say, Lord, I need that. I don't understand what it all means, but I need that, and I welcome you, Jesus, as my helper, my shade. I need you, because in that day, what's going to protect me from the wrath of God? It is the fact that I have a shade in Jesus Christ. Not one drop of God's displeasure can touch me, because he is my all-sufficient shade. In Jesus' hand, we're kept, we're preserved, we're loved. Nothing can ever separate us from that love. No one can snatch us from God's hand. Nothing will ever take us away from our watchman. So can you say this morning, my help comes from the Lord. He will keep your going out from this world in death, and he'll keep your coming in to him. And then he'll keep you with himself forever. We've called this little series through the Psalms, Reasons to Rejoice. And I hope now, having looked at this psalm, you will see why this is in this series. Does this not give us so many reasons to rejoice? Now, I'm assuming that in behind those masks and in your heart, you're saying, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. I have so many reasons to rejoice. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from you. And now you'll never let evil touch me. You'll always be with me, hold my hand through the mountains. And when we're going through the mountains together, often this gives me, as a friend said this week, a new perspective on the trials and the mountains themselves. But we have a reason to rejoice in this. In the shadow of the mountains, our God is with us as our helper and our keeper. There's no mountain we tackle alone. Let's pray. Father, I'm just so conscious of some of my brothers and sisters here this morning who I know are facing some difficult mountains. And I just pray that those words that I closed with, there's no mountain we tackle alone, would minister your all-sufficient comforting grace to each of our souls. When we think of the fulfillment of all of this in Jesus flattening the mountain of our unforgiven sin through his death and resurrection, and because of that we can know God as our helper in all the fears that are part of life, we just want to respond and rejoice and say, Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us your Son. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us and giving yourself for us. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening our eyes to the beauty and majesty of these truths. And Lord, today, if we've been fixed on the mountains, please, Lord, lift our gaze a little higher to you, the one who puts all the mountains in his shadow. And we remember those precious words, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Help us to rest there this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to respond by singing the words of this wonderful hymn. When I fear, my faith may fail, Christ will hold me fast. And we just echo those words over and over again in the chorus. He will hold me fast. Let's sing this together. You and bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Christ Jesus.